Praise the Lord. Love lifted me. I want to express our deep love for you as a congregation. I'm sorry, I'm emotional. Our family would like to share that love with you. We appreciate the many cards, words of encouragement, and prayers. And if you're here with a burden this morning, listen to the words of this song we just sang. Kneel at the cross, leave every care. Kneel at the cross, kneel at the cross. Jesus will meet you there. Whatever your need may be this morning, Jesus will meet you there. Remember that. As a family, we want to express our appreciation. I guess one of the things that affected my emotions this morning is the scripture our brother asked me to read. It's a portion of scripture that's so precious to me. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first 8 verses. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a heaven not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. So then, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but unclothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that has wrought us for this selfsame thing is God, which also has given unto us the earnestness of the Spirit. Therefore, we are all always confident, knowing that while we're at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body than to be present with the Lord. The last 2 weeks that Patsy spent here upon this earth, she prayed that the Lord would take her home. And I praise God that he granted her that request quickly and peaceably she could go with the Lord. Loved ones, let's be faithful. The clouds are going to open one of these days, and that's going to be glory if we're ready to meet him. Let's pray.
Greetings this morning in the precious name of Jesus. Thank you, Brother Merle, for praying, and especially for me this morning and for each of you who have been praying. I will say I came to this scripture because it's been on my mind quite a bit here late, as we have had at least two recently precious daughters of the King, saints among us, who we've had to say goodnight to. I don't know what words you might have used, but when you say those final farewells to a loved one, and you're a child of God, and the one that you're laying to rest was a child of God, you're really not saying goodbye. Praise the Lord, you're really saying goodnight. I'll see you in the morning, the resurrection morning. And I know we just had a sermon a week ago on the resurrection. Maybe this is more of a sermon on what can keep us from fainting along the way, and as we face, ultimately, as we face the enemy death, and then we also have that resurrection in view. But I would entitle it this morning, a building of God. And you find that from the text that Brother Merle read to us this morning in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first verse. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, a house not made with hands. eternal in the heavens. As we consider chapter 5 here of 2 Corinthians, we need to remember the discussion that was going on there in chapter 4, the discussion of Christians suffering but not fainting, suffering but not giving up, maybe struggling but not turning back, not stopping short of the goal. So in chapter 4 there in 2 Corinthians, you might have the same page on your Bible like I do, I'm not sure, but there in verse 8, talking about those Christians in that day, it says, we are troubled on every side, everywhere there's trouble, tribulation, disappointments, setbacks, things go wrong. But the Bible says, yet not distressed. We are perplexed. Many times Christians might get into a situation where they're perplexed, but not in despair. In verse 9, sometimes Christians, and indeed it is happening all through the ages of church history, persecuted, but not forsaken. Never left alone. Never left without that helper and that sustainer, that everything, the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit. Persecuted but not forsaken. Also, Christians find themselves sometimes cast down, but never, with the Lord alongside of them, destroyed. Because the Lord Jesus Christ is far stronger than the enemy that wants to destroy you. Cast down for a moment, yes, but rising back up, yes, as a child of God. Verses 16 and 17 of that chapter, 2 Corinthians 4 here. 16, for which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. And here's one of the keys to not fainting, keeping our eyes on the goal and keeping an eternal view rather than just focusing on our present trouble. Verse 17, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. For we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so what we find here in this chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians, we are living by faith, not by sight. And there are verses here that refer to that. Like verse 13 in chapter 4, we having the same spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed, and therefore have I spoken, ye also believe. Faith, and therefore speak. We live by faith and not by sight. Faith is for this life. Sight is for the life to come. In heaven above, we won't need faith there. We'll be able to see things as they are, and we'll see Him, the Lord Jesus, as He is, the Bible says. And so here in chapter 5, I believe we are giving a continuation. The first word of this chapter is the word for. And I believe there is a connection, and we continue here to have an expounding on how the Christian can be strong under all these different troubles, even the enemy death, and the Christian can keep on going. Reasons are given here in chapter 5 as to why and to how the Christian, under affliction, keeps courage and keeps strong and does not faint along the way. And so as we go through life and as we go through this lesson this morning, it's important to remember that it's faith, it's belief in God, it's belief in the Holy Scriptures, and it's belief in the precious promises that we find in the Word of God that really can keep us going. I know there's other things in the Word of God that there are reasons that we don't faint along the way. Like in Hebrews chapter 12, we're to run with patience and we're to lay aside every weight, and especially the sin that doth so easily beset us. And then it talks about not fainting there in maybe verse 3 of Hebrews chapter 12. But here this morning, I want to bring three words before us from 2 Corinthians 5, the first several verses. Expectation. Number 2, desire. And number 3 this morning, assurance, or confidence, or guarantee. And so this morning, a building of God. What you are living in right now, what I'm looking at, it's so temporal. And we think it's everything sometimes, and we're going to live into the long, long time. Well, it's such a short time. But there's a future body that's going to blow this one away. And we're going to be rejoicing forever and praising our King that He allowed us to slip out of this one and slip into the new one. It's going to be glory for sure. And as we look toward that, we need to have expectation in our lives as Christians. And we need to have desire. And we need to have assurance. And we get that assurance from the Word of God through faith in believing that God is God and that He has written this book and that He believes and he gave every promise and He's going to keep every promise. Number one this morning, the believers' expectation of eternal happiness after death. And this is very important for us as we enter that veil, as we enter that valley, as we get older, and we have physical difficulties. It's also important as we watch loved ones enter that valley. And as they don't rise out of that valley, but they do pass through death. It's very important on both sides there, ourselves and our loved ones, that we have expectation of eternal happiness, of eternal blessedness and glory after death. The first phrase here we have in our scripture, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1, for we know. By faith the believer knows and expects to live after death. In fact, expects to really and truly live after death. The expectation is of a perfect life. The expectation is of a trouble-free life. The expectation is of nothing going wrong. Nothing to bring tears to the eye. This is what we expect. We expect to be truly joyful and happy. When we slip out of this old decaying, as the Bible says here in verse 1, dissolving body. And we put on the heavenly, a building of God. The Bible says, if our earthly house of this tabernacle, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, earthly refers to terrestrial, in contrast to celestial, which is heavenly, terrestrial, earthly, of this earth, is what it really means, of this earth, that which is on the earth. And tabernacle really means tent. And so what I'm looking at this morning is a lot of tabernacles sitting here in front of me. I'm looking at a lot of tents. I'm looking at a lot of houses. Temporary, my people. Never forget it. It is temporary. And the aches and the pains that you have and the limps that you walk with and the hickles are temporary. And when eternity dawns, we'll realize how just temporary that all was. It's hard for us to get it in the right perspective as we live here in this tent, as we live in this house, this tabernacle that is dissolving. It's dissolving. It's decaying. I don't care how young you are this morning, how energetic you feel, and how much muscle you think you have, you're dissolving, and you're fainting away. Physically. If our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, that is, were it dead, were it destroyed, then we have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. When the earthly decays, we know, we have faith, we believe, we know we have a building of God. We know our loved ones have a building of God. A firm, solid expectation of future glory, of heaven. It's a house, it's a habitation, it's a dwelling place, it's a resting place, it's a refuge. It's an everlasting house in the heavens. It's our Father's house. It's a high and a holy place far surpassing any mansion here on this earth. Blows them away. They pale. They look like a dungy old cabin. The big old mansions are building one on the hill across from us, up there above Beaver Creek Road. They build them as if they're going to live in them forever. But they are going to pale compared to our house in glory, the house we're going to live in physically, spiritually, and the whole works. The believer faces death with the Bible-based expectation of deliverance from the dissolving, decaying body of this earthly life, and entering a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens, is your expectation as a child of God and mine. And it was the expectation of our dear ones who have gone on. When shall the joy and happiness of the new life be appreciated? Immediately after death. Immediately. Upon having died, upon having taken our last breath, and upon having had the heart beat its last beat, immediately the believer in the Lord Jesus Christ experiences a freedom, experiences a deliverance from this old corruption and from this mortality. It's immediate, brother and sister. Our sisters in the Lord are in their joyful, exuberant state now. They're not waiting. The Bible makes it very plain, it is now. It says very clearly, just read verse 1, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God." There's no pause there. There's no waiting. We go right from the one, and then we're free. Yeah, later there's a spirit, there's a glorified body, that the body and soul and spirit, and body, soul, and spirit are reunited. I know that. But there's an immediate going into God's presence of soul and spirit. And that is glory indeed, and that is heaven. Immediately after death, as soon as our house of this earthly tabernacle dissolves, the spirit returns to God who gave it. And they who have walked with God, they who have walked with God in this life shall live with God forever. Forever. How long is that? Forever. Eternally. For eternity, which you don't live through eternity, you live in eternity. Because there's no end to it. Back in the first epistle to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Look at verse 50 there. "Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. The dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we, that is, we who are living at the second return of Christ, shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Praise the Lord Jesus Christ. The grave could not hold him. He is the first fruits of them that sleep. And he is going to bring all those who are dead in Christ out of the grave. There's it looks like an old decaying graveyard over here. I know it's taken care of, but the stones look old. And you know, I've been thinking more here late about death. And I've been thinking that I have a brother and I have a sister up there in that corner. I don't know if I can see some stones out there. Up in that far back corner. I know in more recent years my mother and my father have been buried there. And I even have a niece laying there. I dug that grave with a pick and a digging iron and a shovel. Keturah is lying over there. But I know I have a brother Dale over there. Now, he was about 3 and a half, I understand, when he left this life. I never saw Dale. You know, sometimes we forget who's buried out there. And sometimes we forget, and I'll live months and I won't think about a brother and a sister, a little sister. Was it Jean or was it Linda? I'm not sure. Joyce, was it Linda? Jean. She was only a month old. I think it just doesn't, it's not real enough sometimes, brothers and sisters. And some of you older ones that are here this morning, maybe you've laid little ones to rest. It needs to be real today. When this earthly house dissolves, we have a building of God, and they're going to live, and their spirit is with God now. And certainly they have returned to the dust. I can't imagine what's left. But when God's power calls, that sob's going to erupt. I'm not sure if it'll be any disturbance. There might be a great disturbance. Maybe you don't want to live beside a graveyard. Maybe you'll get debris in your yard. I don't know, but it's going to happen that they're going to come forth. And I have a brother, Dale, 3.5 years old, I believe he was. I've never seen him. I wonder what he looks like. And I don't know enough about eternity to know what is going to happen there, whether they grow more, whether they get older. I'm not sure. Maybe you have thoughts on that. What about a month-old daughter? What about a month-old little sister, girl? But that it's just going to be amazing to see them in their glorified body. You know, that grave's not the end. And we forget about these little ones, I think, sometimes. As I get older, I want to see them. I want to see a Dale and I want to see a Jean who I've never laid eyes on. And thanks be to God. You know, here it says, death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is thy victory? They're silent. They don't have anything to say in the face of the Word of God. Grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin. The strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Praise his holy name. And with that fact before us, we are challenged to get moving. And you and I as Christians, maybe more than ever, and maybe we need to really wake up and live with this hope of the resurrection and this hope that death is not final. It says in verse 58, therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Maybe we need to get moving. Maybe I do. In light of the eternal truths that God has promised with us and promised us and given us. Always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Our labor is not in vain because there is hope beyond the grave. There is hope beyond death. The believer faces death with the Bible-based expectation of deliverance from the dissolving, decaying body. And now, the body you're in now, it was never designed to last forever. Young people, it's hard to understand that, I know. Doesn't seem too long ago I was a young person in my 20s or my teens. But your body was never designed to live forever. It's a very temporary tent. It's a very temporary house. It's a very temporary tabernacle. And it is dissolving. It hasn't totally dissolved, but in death it is totally dissolved. That's what the scripture is talking about here in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. When it says dissolved, it's talking about that point of death. And then there's this building of God. Flesh and blood cannot enter heaven. On the resurrection morning, the power of God, it's going to reach forth, and that's when the change is going to take place. For those who have died in Christ and have been put under the sod, that is when it's going to happen. This flesh and blood will be no more, but there will be an incorruptible taking the place of the corruptible. There will be immortality taking the place of mortality. And immortality can never die. And the incorruptible can never have a problem again. Won't need any joints replaced. Won't need any surgeries. won't need to battle any sickness, any disease anymore. Because death and the decaying that leads up to death will be swallowed up in victory. With such expectation, the Christian can be steadfast, unmovable, and always abounding in the work of the Lord. Number two this morning, the believer's desire of eternal happiness beyond death. Verse 2 of our text, "For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven." We groan, an expression of sorrow under a heavy load. We groan, earnestly desiring to be free of this decaying earthly shell. Verse 4 also says, "For we that are in this tabernacle, this earthly body, we do groan, being burdened. And for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life." The trials, the distresses, the tragedies, and the sorrows of this life can make for a heavy burden. They can make life difficult. Believers also groan and earnestly desire relief from the old man of sin that keeps on haunting us and keeps on bothering us and keeps on trying to get us dragged down like besetting sins. And so there's a groaning in flesh and there's a groaning in spirit for the Christian. The whole creation groaneth together in pain, looking for redemption there in Romans chapter, I believe it's chapter 8. There is a groaning of earnest desire in Christians for another life where holiness and happiness will roll. Desire to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. Desire for immortality. At death, spirit and soul leave the body. I'm sure you've experienced it. I know I have. I've stood beside caskets already, and I've thought that just isn't them. I know that's not very comforting. We want them to look like themselves, but it's like it's an empty shell. I've really been struck with that, especially the younger ones. It's like they're not even there. Spirit and soul have gone to be with the Lord. The body is buried out here in the graveyard. A separation takes place. And that's what verse 3, you know, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. You see, death leaves us naked. You know, we brought nothing into this world and we're going to go out the same way. At death, spirit and soul leave the body. It says there in verse 3, if so be. That is, if it be God's will that we do not sleep the sleep of death, but be changed at Christ's second coming. We don't need to go through that being stripped, that being separated. But instead, we are changed at the second coming of Christ in a moment. And we are going from corruptible there to incorruptible. From mortal to immortal. And so if it be God's will that we do not sleep the sleep of death, I believe that's what verse 3 is talking about. But we are changed at the second coming of Christ. Granted, death is dreaded. I'm not saying that this morning. Death is an enemy. It is, brother and sister, my sinner friend. Death is an enemy. But the Christian is willing to die rather than live. You know, you all have heard saints on deathbeds wanting to go home. That's what we're talking about. The saints of God, those who have walked with God, those who have lived for God, those who have a clear conscience before God and before man, they are willing to die because death is a passage to glory. You don't get any beautiful corn stalk without a grain of corn dying. You farmers know all about it. That corn looks beautiful in the seed bag, but you take it out of there and you put it under the earth and it actually dies. It actually decays, it dissolves. But death does its work and a beautiful thing comes forth. And if only we could picture, and if only we could get a glimpse of how beautiful it'll be. For the Christian who goes through that experience of death, and they enter the other side, free at last. We find that in verse 8 of our text, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And because of the way this body decays and dissolves, many a believer is ready to die. I just want to go home. I think we've all heard that. Praise God, there's a home to go to for those whose faith and hope and trust and belief is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the grave could not hold the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Leave this decaying body of flesh to be with Jesus. Take off this old ugly garment of flesh and put on the garments of praise. Put on the garments of righteousness and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ah, the Lord Jesus promises to clothe you and I so that we're not found naked before the Lord God in our sins. He hath promised to cleanse us. Ah, there's a scripture there in Revelation chapter 7, verses 14 to 17. There the Bible says, and I said unto them, Sir, thou knowest. And he said to me, These are they which come out of great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, they shall neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them and shall lead them on the living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Hallelujah. What a Savior. First, the believer has great expectation of eternal bliss after death. Yes, the believer has faith in God and in his promises, in his word. He has great expectation. She has great expectation. Second, the believer has earnest desire for eternal happiness in heaven. Earnest desire to put off mortality and put on immortality. Third, this morning, the believer's assurance of eternal happiness. Assurance. First, this assurance is made possible by the grace of God. It's God himself who prepares the believer and makes him fit for that place called heaven. Verse 5 of our text. You don't see the word prepared there, but now he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Now he that hath prepared us for this very thing is God, is how it reads. He that hath prepared us for this very thing is God. What thing? Well, obviously, it's talking about the verses right before it. This building of God, not made with hands, prepared in heaven. A spiritual body and a spiritual dwelling place in heaven. It is God who prepares the believer for a place that is pure, without sin. Only God, and we're talking here about preparation of the heart. Nobody goes to heaven without their heart being prepared. We make preparation for many trips, and then we have confidence and we have assurance that the trip will go well because we made preparation. But people fail to make preparation for the greatest trip of all. When they leave this life and go into the life of eternity, preparation has failed to be made, and without the heart being prepared to go through the veil of death and into eternity, one cannot enter heaven. You see, heaven is, as you've heard it said, is a prepared place for a prepared people. praise God, when these loved ones go on from our midst and have lived for the Lord and have prepared to go live with the Lord and live in a perfect place, we can rejoice. And it gives us hope. What thing is it talking about? Yes, it's talking about putting off the earthly tabernacle and putting on the heavenly. God prepares us, but not everyone allows God to prepare them. You see, God's power is there and God's love is there. Whosoever will may come and take of the water of life freely. And God will turn no one away, but not everyone comes. Not everyone yields the heart to the operation and preparation of God. And so not everyone goes through death and then enters bliss and heaven. You would think so sometimes when you look at the crosses down the highway and all the writings that are on them. Seems like everyone went to heaven, but they don't. Because God's word tells us they don't. God's word tells us there's a few that go down the straight way, the narrow way, and enter the straight gate. And the Bible tells us there is a lot. There are many who go down the broad way to destruction. So don't be misled by this easy believism and this ushering of everybody into heaven at death. Because God is good. God is good. And because of that, he gave us a Savior. And if you're rejecting that Savior this morning, you're rejecting your only way to heaven and to avoid hell. And you're not ready to die, and you can't die with peace if you do not have Jesus Christ in your heart, if you have not yielded to him, if you have not confessed all your sins, if you have not made everything right. You are not ready to die. It's appointed on a man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many. And unto them that look for him, he shall appear the second time without sin unto salvation. It's appointed unto men once to die. The sinner who in pride and self-will refuses to allow God's grace to soften and change his heart cannot enter heaven. But the yielded, repentant heart faces death with assurance and confidence that God will take them home. There's a second part to verse 5, and it's the second part of this assurance. It says there, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. The earnest of the Spirit gives assurance to the believer that beyond death is glory and a new body. Just what is this earnest of the Spirit? It's a down payment. It's a guarantee. It is assurance. And the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God there in Romans 8. And we can have peace and we can know that we belong to God, that we are one of his precious children that have been adopted into his royal family. And so the Spirit gives assurance of eternal life. And so this morning, brothers and sisters, sinner friend, the expectation and the desire and the assurance of eternal life, of a new body, of a heaven where all is perfect, where nothing goes wrong and no disappointments come, a place of joy and happiness, a place where we will be with Jesus and see Jesus face to face and be with loved ones. This allows us, back there in chapter 4, to be troubled on every side, but not distressed. This is what allows us to be perplexed, but not in despair. This is what allows us to be persecuted, but not forsaken. This is what allows us to be cast down, but not destroyed. This is what allows the Christian to sorrow, but not as those who have no hope. Praise the Lord.
We hear promises like this, we might wonder, how can they be made real to us? How can we be assured? And we're told two things that assure us. The earnest of the Spirit, that's the down payment. The Spirit is the presence of God with us, and that presence of God with us keeps reminding us there's more to come, or the best is yet to come. That's our confidence. We have a second confidence. Verse 7, for we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident. You know, someone who only believes what they can see, and we have that saying, unless I see it, I won't believe it. We can only see with our sight in the present. But someone who's able to see beyond the present, we say they have foresight. And the person who doesn't have foresight, we say they are short-sighted. And when we walk with our own human eyes only, we are short-sighted because our eyes are failing day by day. And eventually, it will leave us unassured. But faith is a gift from God that gives us confidence to see into the future and to believe it to be a present reality. And the Holy Spirit is affirming our faith, saying, the best is yet to come. This is only a taste of glory. Let's stand for prayer.